Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text today is from Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1 and also verses 13 through 26. And I will read it now. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these things are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to
God. Our topic today is the topic of freedom. And freedom, of course, is a very, very fitting topic for the 4th of July week. We think this week of those who came before us and the costly sacrifices that they made for our political freedom that we enjoy today. And it's worth remembering the specific freedoms that we have. The Bill of Rights names those basic freedoms, starting with what's called our first freedom: the free exercise or practice of religion. And that's followed by the freedom of speech, the freedom of the press, the freedom to assemble, and the freedom to petition the government. Living in the United States, these freedoms are our heritage. They are precious, and they are worth preserving. And this week, as you celebrate the 4th of July, I encourage you to thank God for these freedoms. Freedom is also one of the themes of St. Paul's letter to the church in Galatia, but he talks about freedom of a different kind. He isn't interested in political freedom or freedom, the freedoms found in the Bill of Rights, but on what it means to be free in Christ, what is often called Christian freedom. Consecration Sunday today at Our Savior is a fitting time to consider the freedom we have in Christ and to consider how we are to use our freedom and what purposes God gives this freedom for. Now, stated in a simple and plain way, we can say it like this: Christ Jesus has set us free from sin to serve one another through love. Christ Jesus has set us free from sin to serve one another through love. Now, as St. Paul discusses Christian freedom, he begins with Christ himself. For freedom, Christ has set us free. For you were called to freedom. And if you were called, then we can ask, by whom were you called? Well, you were called to this freedom by God the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ, in the Holy Spirit. And what this means is that now, as Christians, we belong to Christ Jesus. Now, we live by the Spirit. When we think of freedom, it may not be our usual way of thinking, but I'd like to suggest to you today that Christ Jesus is the one who sets us free because he himself is totally and completely free. That there is no better picture of what it means to live a free life than to look at Jesus himself. He is the best and the perfect picture of true spiritual freedom, and of what this freedom looks like as it's lived out among sinners in a fallen world. In other words, Jesus Christ is the freest person who ever lived. Again, I'm not sure that we're used to thinking of him this way, but we ought to. And we ought to remember that Jesus is also free, not only when he's freely teaching and moving around through Judea and Galilee, but he's free even when he was arrested and bound by ropes. That Jesus was free even when he was led captive before Caiaphas and Herod and Pontius Pilate. That Jesus was free even when he was pinned to the cross by those nails. And that he was free even when his body was shut in the grave. Now, I realize this doesn't look much like freedom, and certainly not like the kind of freedom we celebrate on the 4th of July. So you might ask, in what way is Jesus free, even when he's bound, and even when he is crucified, and even when he is buried? Well, Jesus is free because everything he does freely loving God and freely loving his neighbor. You see, Jesus is free because he is the only man in whom there is nothing coiled. There is nothing about Jesus that is turned in on itself or curved in on himself. There is nothing in Jesus selfish or sinful. That's what we mean when we say that Jesus is completely free, that he is completely open to God and he is completely at the service of his fellow man. That our Lord is able to love and serve, and even more than that, that he wants to love and to serve. He isn't forced to do anything that he does, not in the way that we sometimes are, where we're told to do something and we may do it, but we do it very grudgingly, with our arms crossed and a bit of a stomped foot and a huff. Our Lord doesn't live like that. No, the only force and the only power at work in his life is the force and power of love, which comes from inside of him. Now, this love is also something Christ Jesus receives from the Father. He is loved by the Father, and so he has the freedom of a son in relationship with the Father. We can think here of Jesus' own baptism, when the Father declared from heaven to Jesus, saying, "You are my beloved Son. With you I'm well pleased." That the Father loves the Son, and the Son is pleasing to the Father. He didn't have to earn the Father's favor. He already had it. He didn't have to prove himself to his Father. He was already loved by the Father. And so, loved by the Father, Jesus lived in love freely. He prayed, and he lived, and he suffered, and he offered his life on behalf of others. And if you wonder if this is really the case, then think about how Jesus speaks about his own life. He speaks of his life as something that he freely offers, that he freely gives, that he freely lays down. While he was being arrested, he said, "Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels?" That is, Jesus had a way to be free of that arrest if he wanted to be, but he chose not to use it. Or again, in the passage on the Good Shepherd, when he said, "No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord." Or again, when he said, "The Son of Man came to give his life as a ransom for many." So that as Jesus heads to the cross, he does not head to the cross as one who is forced to go to the cross or compelled to go by others, but as one who freely offers himself. And this is what makes the freedom that Jesus has so surprising and so hard for us to believe, that he would choose to use his freedom in this way, to love and serve us. Who in their right mind would freely give their life for others? Because we think of freedom as keeping a firm hold on life. The more free I am, the more I get to hold on to my life. Or we think of freedom as being free to live and do whatever we want. Freedom is about me and what I get to do. Freedom, we think, is about serving ourselves. But Jesus calls that slavery. Everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. And everyone who is a slave to sin can only serve themselves and cannot serve anyone else. Selfishness is not freedom. And Jesus was so free that he wanted and he did give his life away. He was so free from selfishness that he was able to serve others. And that is exactly what he did. He served you. With the Spirit of the Lord upon him and as the anointed one, our Lord Jesus Christ freely tied his life to our lives. And he freely bound himself to our selfishness and our self-centeredness. He freely attached himself to every thought, word, and deed by which we serve ourselves instead of others. And he paid the price for it. Our Lord offered himself in your place in slavery to death and to hell. And it is his costly sacrifice that we remember today and give thanks for. His costly sacrifice that won the spiritual freedom that we enjoy today. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And so you are. Because of Christ Jesus, you are free. You are free from the mastery of sin, death, and the devil. You are free from that slavery to selfishness. Christian freedom is the freedom of Christ Jesus. His freedom is yours. And when you were baptized, you were joined to Jesus Christ so that you received adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir. Which means that everything that belongs to God belongs to you. So Christ Jesus has taken your sins away. His Spirit has come and continues to come into our hearts through the Word. And his Father is our Father in heaven. And this is what leads St. Paul to warn the Christians in Galatia and to warn us about two dangers, two threats to our freedom. The first danger to our freedom is submitting again to a yoke of slavery. And the second danger to our freedom is using our freedom as an opportunity for the sinful flesh. This is how St. Paul unpacks these two things. He says first, stand firm and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Because we are free, we are no longer to view our lives or to live them as though we are under a burden. The whole law, everything that God demands of us, has already been fulfilled by Christ Jesus, by the one who loved us as his neighbor, even more than he loved himself. And so you are already a beloved child of the Heavenly Father. There's nothing that you need to do to earn his favor. There's nothing that you must do to make him more pleased with you. He loves you already in Christ Jesus. And so Christ has set you free from living by the law, living under the press and the weight of the law. He has set you free to live way beyond what the law demands. Second, your sinful nature would just love to use this freedom to its own advantage. If you've been a Christian very long, you know that inside of you is this war, this battle between Christ in you and the sinful nature in you, and that sinful nature would love to take advantage of this freedom. You were called to freedom. Freedom is a calling from God. It is your vocation. Only don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Do not allow your freedom to be a base for your sinful flesh to make war against Christ. But through love, serve one another. Christian freedom does not mean being able to do whatever your sinful nature wants to do. It means being able to put to death the sinful nature and to do whatever Christ Jesus wants to do in and through you. In other words, Christian freedom never looks at itself or at what it wants. It looks instead at the neighbor and what he or she needs. If you want to know how you are to use your freedom, then you simply need to ask what is good for him or what would be best for her or what would serve and help them. It doesn't want its own good, but their good. And in fact, the point of Christian freedom isn't that we are entirely free, but that we are free with respect to God. We owe God nothing, but that we freely step into our relationships, into our responsibilities, into our lives, and the work that God has prepared for us beforehand. Christian freedom sets us free, not from others, but free for others, free to love and to serve them. And our sinful nature hates this. It wars against us and against what is good and godly. That's why St. Paul says, "I say, walk by the Spirit, and you won't gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." To follow our own sinful desires is not freedom, but it is slavery. It is servitude. And the works of the flesh, the works of slavery, are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Listen to this word, and let this word do its work in your life. Let it drive you to repentance. Let it condemn and crucify these desires in you, and let it create in you the true fear of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. The sinful flesh leads only to divisions among people and to divisions among Christians, but the Holy Spirit brings unity, and the Holy Spirit builds up the body of Christ. And the Holy Spirit leads us. And the picture that we have here is like the Holy Spirit leading us with a gentle and a loving grasp, as when a child puts her hand into the hand of a beloved and trusted father and follows where he leads. That's how the Holy Spirit leads us. And as we hear God's word, and as we learn and meditate on that word, the Holy Spirit is leading us and is working in us. And the seed of God's word takes root in our lives, and it begins to bear much fruit, even the fruit of the Spirit. As we listen to God's word, and as we live in his word, and as we receive his gifts in the church, we learn to follow and imitate Christ and his freedom, and we learn even to lay down our lives for others. And that's exactly what I crave, what I desire, and I expect that it's what you desire as well, in your heart as a Christian. I don't desire the freedom to do whatever I want, because I know exactly where that leads, and it's not good. But I desire the freedom to live according to God's plan and design and purposes for me. I desire the freedom to do what he wants me to do. Not my will, but yours, O Lord. I desire that the way Psalm 110 describes Christ's people would describe you and me, when it says to Christ, "Your people will offer themselves freely on the day of your power in holy garments," that Jesus is the one who graciously rules over our lives right now, and that he has clothed us with his own righteousness, with his own freedom, and that he turns us into free will offerings to God, so that our entire lives become a free offering to our Father in heaven for the good of our neighbors. And now, what does all of this have to do with Consecration Sunday? Today we offer ourselves in service to our brothers and sisters in this congregation. Today we, in one way, put our freedom to work, not for our own sake, but for the sake of others. We offer ourselves in Christian freedom to mop the basement on a Saturday evening, or to sit with crying children on Sunday morning so their parents can be in service. We offer ourselves and use our freedom to visit the sick and to feed the hungry and to comfort the discouraged and the dying. We use our freedom to pull weeds out in the parking lot so that people may see the beauty of our church and be drawn to the beauty of Christ. We lay down our lives. We give of our time. We serve with our energy, and we offer our worldly goods for one another and for other sinners for whom Christ Jesus died. That's what Consecration Sunday is about. We use our freedom not for ourselves, but for others, just as we are called to use our freedom also in our homes and in our families and in our communities. Let us not neglect to walk by the Spirit in all of these things and in all of these places. And this, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, is the greatest freedom we could possibly have. We are free because we belong to Christ Jesus. We know whose we are, and we know exactly where we are headed. We are free because we live by the Spirit and not under the law. And so enjoy the freedom that you have in Christ and use this freedom for the good of others and offer yourselves in service to your neighbors in love, knowing that you are loved by your Father in heaven and that your Lord Jesus Christ has paid everything on your behalf. And now to finish with the words of St. Paul, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.